Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Stone Payton, your host for the High Velocity Radio Show. And joining us in the booth is Lee Cantor. How's it going, Lee?
It is awesome, Stone. How's your weekend?
It was just wonderful. I got some exciting news to share with you in a minute, but I want to hear about last week's Radio X mixer combined with the tweet up and all that stuff.
It was a party. There were a lot of people I'd never met before. I thought it had a pretty good crowd. What'd you think?
Well, you know, you had me busy taking the pictures.
Todd Schnick. I told you, take as many pictures of Todd Schnick as you possibly can.
I knew I was going to catch flack about that, but every time I saw Todd, he was with a beautiful woman. So the focus was catch a beautiful woman, and Todd just happened to be in the frame, man.
Coincidence.
I do have a couple of announcements to lift up for the congregation before we get started. Next week, I am headed at least toward Mexico, but my answer to this economic crisis is hop on a boat and head to the, would that be considered the Caribbean? That's not the Caribbean.
No.
All right, well, we're headed to Key West, so we'll do the Hemingway, Sloppy Joe's kind of thing.
Nice.
And then we were supposed to bounce over to Cozumel. They act like they're not going to let us get off the boat at Cozumel.
Because of the flu?
Yeah, and then we're going to go to Belize. But all that to say, we're not going to have a show next week, or if you do, you won't be having it with me.
Well, I got to do what I got to do, right,
son? Yeah, so maybe there you'll have it. Lee Cantor will be hosting your High Velocity Radio Show.
Nice.
Anything else?
What's the occasion? Is that just family fun?
A 20th anniversary for my wife and I. Our 20th anniversary is actually in December, but my brother and his wife will have been married 20 years in May, and so we decided we would all just hop on the boat and kick back and maybe throw a few margaritas.
Margaritas, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
But we do have a wonderful show for you this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to hear from co-authors Carlos Quintero and Nancy Sutherland. They've recently released a book entitled Catalyst 5, Making the Leap from Sales Manager to Sales Leader. So please join me in welcoming both Nancy Sutherland and Carlos Quintero. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What an engaging, captivating title. So interested to hear more and share it with our listeners. What prompted you guys to put together a book like this?
Well, Stone, first, thank you for having us. One of the things that really we're trying to do as a company is really to change the paradigm and practices of sales managers throughout the United States. We've learned through all our experience that sales managers are really the most important folks in a sales organization. And we also have learned that they're often the most underdeveloped resource. And we wrote the book because we wanted to help sales vice presidents, you know, create really a culture of excellence with their sales force. That's the primary driving reason behind it.
Why do you think there's a problem with sales managers not naturally taking on becoming sales leaders?
Well, I think that often they have been very successful sales professionals themselves.
As actual salespeople.
That's right.
And then they get promoted to sales manager,
mm-hmm.
and that's a different skill set?
It is, and that's really one of the driving factors behind it.
In fact, we knew there was a place for a book like this because most sales managers really haven't had a lot of formal training other than how to sell more. So we knew that we could give them some structure and new ideas through a book like this. And so we really identified the five critical roles of a sales leader. And we by clearly defining those, we knew that people in sales management would really eat this up. So.
Well, you know, like most devoted thought leaders, I typically will buy a book based on its cover, mm-hmm. The cover art and the title. And I love the title, Catalyst 5, and I think it's a very catching cover art, but there's got to be a story behind Catalyst 5. What's that all about?
Well, we think that a catalyst, with the definition of catalyst, is kind of a chemical reaction. It's something that accelerates a chemical reaction and causes things to change. So we see the sales manager as someone that really is the person that turns on the team and causes change among his team. So we felt like catalyst was the perfect word to use for that. And that the power of five, we call it actually catalyst to the power of five, because we see five roles that the sales manager plays, and those roles are leader, business manager, coach, recruiter, and trainer. So the whole book is written around those roles. The subtitle is Making the Leap from Sales Manager to Sales Leader. We've already talked about why that's important. But, you know, we think there's an evolution process that takes place when managers become leaders, and a lot of them get stuck somewhere along the way.
Now, in your research and in your work history working with salespeople and sales managers, is this something like in athletics where somebody might be a great player, but they may not be a great coach?
That's certainly a true reality. I mean, many people, when they're making this transition from salesperson to sales manager, they realize that these are totally different set of skills.
Right.
And because
maybe
of that.
Because maybe it came easy for them or more natural, and they have higher expectations for a person. Is it difficult to, you know, now be able to teach that person the fundamentals?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily harder to teach the fundamentals. Sometimes it's important to give them the framework and the structure for that, and that's one of the things that the book is designed to
right.
do.
Well, it's like Ted Williams. I think it used to frustrate the heck out of Ted Williams to try to teach other people how to hit. I mean, how hard is it
and
to
Michael,
step up to the
Michael
plate?
Michael Jordan, like, he couldn't understand, you know.
I mean, he would be frustrated to death, I'm sure. You know, how hard is it to step up to the plate and hit 400? It's not that big a deal. Well, the ball's coming in the same general space every time, right?
But Michael Jordan, it helped him when he went to do baseball, when he realized that all the practice that he could do and batting cage and all this extra work wasn't translating to real life. Now, I didn't know if that was similar for salespeople.
Well, for some it is, because they realize that now the name of the game is different. Yes, they're still having to make numbers, but now they need to engage a sales professional to want to do the work, challenge them to reach higher, certainly achieving their goals. And because of that, the transition of how to do that becomes a difficult play. It's not just about sales anymore. It's really about working through others, and that's
right.
a very difficult challenge for many of them.
So you've got these five different roles that you explain and you uncover and sort of unfold. You get to see them unfold in the book. I love the format, the way that you wrote the book. Do you find in your work that people have a tendency to gravitate toward one or more of these roles because they're naturally more comfortable with that, and then they neglect the others?
They tend to gravitate much more to the business manager role.
Because
that's in essence what they see themselves as having to do. In other words, they already were performers in sales, and so they tend to gravitate more towards the business manager role. I've got now to make sales, but for the entire team. So the natural fit is there. The second natural fit is a little bit more around the coach role, because as coaches, they know that that's important, and they know that they are supposed to be coaches. So they tend to gravitate more naturally to the business manager role, because that's part of the responsibility, and also to the coach role.
So what's it like to co-author a book? I can't imagine going into a situation like this. I mean, you two guys, you're both well-seasoned professionals. I know you have your own opinions, your own perspective. Nancy, what was that like trying to collaborate on a work like this?
Well, Carlos is really the idea guy. He's just got his head is constantly swimming with new ideas in this book and in just everything. So he's one of the most creative kind of people I know. So I really feed off his energy, and I did a lot of the writing. Carlos, obviously, we collaborated on it, but you know, it really flowed pretty easily. We work well together, and I didn't have any we didn't have any issues in co-writing this thing. But we told it as a story. We wanted to write it as a story because we believe that most salespeople and a lot of people in general just don't want to read academic textbook kind of information.
Here. But thank you for that.
But there's a lot of research behind it, though.
Absolutely. A lot of research behind it, but we wanted to make it in a format and that would be easy to pick up. You can read it on an airplane, you know, in a two-hour flight. You can read the whole book, and there's so much information packed into this based on the research that that it's really an important concept.
Well, say more about that, the research. Where did you get the ideas? Where did you make these observations? How did you collect all that and get it folded into the book?
Sure. First of all, we've been in business for 20-plus years as it relates to this industry. I particularly have been in this industry for now 20 years. And so a lot of the research at first was anecdotal in nature in the context of having experiences with many different sales forces of different sizes. So what that did is it allowed us and the team together to establish a framework of what we think it should have been. Then what we did is we approached 25 vice presidents of sales of different corporations of different sizes and industries. And what they did is they provided us with their take on the model, their outlook on it, what works, what doesn't work. And then we got a lot of feedback from them on that specific, on the model itself and how they're rated their sales managers relative to that. And that was really one of the most important ahas. For example, you know, we know that most of the sales managers tend to want to become good coaches, and so there's work that's being done there and more activity. But, you know, one of the things we also learned is most of these managers are very weak in the role of leader or in the role of recruiter, for example. Mm-hmm. Many times recruiters are at the role of recruiter that they leave it up to human resources, or they feel that leader is not really part of their role, that their role is not to establish the direction and vision for the team, but rather that more to execute. And that's why they tend to be more in the business manager role. For example, only 4% of the vice presidents, rated their sales managers as superior in the whole issue of vision and establishing a framework.
Ouch.
So that's a pretty low number.
That is a low number.
And another one, 69% rated their managers as weak or average in conducting formal key account reviews. So that's, you know, so the argument there is that in many of the different practices that the book embraces, there was a real mix of caliber and talent that many of these vice presidents saw. And so they ultimately saw that the framework provided them with a substantive approach on how to measure, how to recruit, how to evaluate their sales managers in the future, and also how to develop them. So that's why the framework ultimately was received very well.
Was there anything that really surprised you?
Well, for example, this issue of the trainer role. I mean, on the one hand, you might say, well, a manager needs to be a very good trainer because he or she is helping their salespeople become better at their craft. But what we found is that they tended to relegate that to the training department in an organization. They really didn't take a lot of initiative to take responsibility for the development of their team themselves. They somewhat passed that on to others in the organization. So what was interesting as we did the research is the examples of those few managers out there who are really turning on the team by having the entire team be somewhat stewards of their own careers and trainers themselves. So that's really kind of an interesting insight.
And I bet you sold your first 25 books, and maybe you picked up 25 new accounts, huh?
Well, we certainly, the book has started to sell, and everyone who has read it has given us very good feedback.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it goes, I think, part of it. The content, of course, I got a great deal out of, and I've really never led very many salespeople, but I've had some sales leaders that were better than others, but I particularly enjoyed what my instructional designer wife would call the treatment of the book, Nancy, the way it's framed up. Say more about the way that it's laid out and why you chose to do it that way.
Well, again, we wanted to make it a story format. It's written as the story of this guy named Chris, who's the top salesperson, or who is a top salesperson for his company, and he gets promoted to sales manager. He's really excited about that, and then he quickly starts feeling that maybe I don't think that my skills as a salesperson are translating well into the role of leading a sales team. So we tried to make him have the problems that a real person in his role would have. We gave him a feeling of frustration, and it just reflected throughout the book. So he becomes really overwhelmed, and he contacts an old mentor of his who led his first sales team.
Right.
And the guy, you know, always had his act together, always knew what was, he just seemed to really have, seemed to have everything in place. And he starts meeting with him on a weekly basis to learn some of these skills that the mentor named Joe.
The mentor is not named Carlos?
Well, he could be. He could be. In fact, we had a call from someone the other day that said, I want you to be Joe for a few minutes, Carlos, because...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it really reads easily as a story, but there's so many lessons packed into the whole thing. And we put checklists and you know, things at the end of each chapter so that sales managers can really benefit from that.
We did model it after a Joe that was one of my best mentors, and he really established a very nice framework for me also as I was developing in my sales career.
In fact, this Joe, I've met him now too, because he was our office manager for a few years. It's really a kind of a role reversal kind of a thing, because he was Carlos's mentor and then turned around and became our office manager for several years. So it was neat.
There was some content in this book that it was new to me. Probably wouldn't be new for people that have maybe worked for large organizations, but around this whole idea of territory planning. Can you say more about that and what kind of work you're doing around that with your clients?
Sure. One of the things that we have observed of the best sales forces is how well they do in having the salesperson being able to define clearly how they're going to achieve their goals and their objectives and their numbers each year. What territory growth planning is a mechanism for the entire sales force to, in essence, step back, examine their market, take a look at what works, and ultimately define a strategy on how they're going to make their numbers for the year. Territory growth planning is a series of templates that are need to be completed by the sales professional, and then each sales professional presents in front of their team on how they're going to make their numbers for the year. And it's been very, very powerful. We've had several thousand people in different organizations who are now using this as the basis for how they're managing their business every year.
How do you start when you begin to work with a client? Where do you typically start? What kind of work do you do with them?
It does vary by organization. Some organizations hire us because they have a specific need around an issue. For example, a company is about to launch a new product, and they would like to excite the sales force to the new product introduction. And so we use one of our systems called Engage, delivering powerful new product presentations to help in the launch of the new product. So some organizations hire us for a specific need that they may have. Other organizations, on the other hand, really buy into this holistic approach that we try to promote, as we do in the book. And the holistic approach is, how do we build sales excellence in the entire organization? How do we build a culture of continuous improvement with the sales force, and not just a culture of attempting to just make the numbers every year, that there's more to excellence in sales than just achieving the numbers?
Is there anything that a person could do to learn to be a better salesperson, or is it something that you're born with?
Well, there are certain characteristics that a salesperson probably needs to have to be successful in sales. It's all around their empathy with customers, their ability to engage, their drive. So there are some base personality characteristics that are important for a sales professional to have. However, the technical skill of salesmanship, the technical skill of helping customers, helping satisfy a customer requirement, that's very much of a learned skill. What is less of a learned skill is obviously your innate background and your personality and your drive to succeed. And so organizations need to pay a lot of attention to selecting based on those characteristics, because the other things, the science of selling, can certainly be taught.
So I want to read you a couple of quotes from this thing. I saw this the other day, Lee, and I want you to see this. I assume that this is Nancy's brother-in-law. Dave Ogden, CEO
of
AMI.
He's not.
I'm teasing, of course. But, I mean, the feedback that you've gotten on this book, I mean, it's incredible. It says, I'm just going to read this verbatim. In all of my years as a sales professional, sales manager, and branch manager in IBM, sales transformation consultant, and now owner of my own sales and distribution company, I have never seen the complete package laid out in such a logical and compelling model. I mean, you guys are getting some tremendous feedback. So you're obviously individuals that are buying the book, having these conversations with you. They're getting engaged. They're getting a lot of value out of it. What are you seeing out in the general market? How is the general market treating this whole idea of sales excellence? Is the economic crisis having a negative impact? What are you seeing out there?
Sure. When we have the economic conditions that we have, tend to be more tight in their use of funds and application of funds. So we have some customers who are certainly being very conservative in that nature. We also have other customers who have been very, very explicit, saying that while we're cutting cost in many other areas of the business, we are not cutting cost in our sales excellence
Good
initiative.
For them.
Because what they're doing as a result of that is basically communicating to the sales force, We're investing in you. We're investing in your future. We want to maintain morale. We want to maintain momentum. And, in fact, we want to capture market share now, because this is the time to get aggressive and be able to get ourselves in a position so that when the economic sales are behind us again, right, then we're in a better position.
So is that what you're seeing as well, Nancy, and as you're talking to people internally and thinking about helping them design and redesign the work that they're doing inside, a little bit restricted on funds, but there's some of them are making that investment?
Absolutely. I think the progressive ones are making that investment right now, and that's what we're, you know, that's what's going to lead companies into the future, I think, is that taking this opportunity to keep on developing and keep on developing strengths within their sales force. And sales is where it's at, you know.
And what's happening with this that the book is helping stimulate is the fact that organizations have recognized that they have invested a lot of effort in sometimes developing their salespeople, but certainly not establishing a culture of excellence for the sales manager. And as a result, the book really has recognized what's now been proven through various different research books that have come out in the last several years, that the sales manager is really the most important player in an organization. Yes, you've got to have raw talent, and no different than a sports team has to have, but the caliber of the coach, the caliber of that sales leader is essential. So companies are starting to get serious about putting emphasis and a structure and a methodology for the sales leader.
In fact, we've developed an entire workshop around this book that's a series of two-day sessions on each of these roles that the manager plays. And you know, it's this is just a great starting point, but there's a lot of in-depth training that people can do behind this, too.
How long does it take for a team to kind of go through the process of the workshop and then really integrate that learning into their day-to-day business life?
The way we roll out the process is typically in a 12 to 18 month process, because we know that people can certainly, they're limited to what they can all internalize right away. And when we're trying to do a culture change for an organization, we believe it's best to have an intervention, then allow them to practice and work on it for 4 to 6 months, then have the next intervention. So an organization that's serious about it is approaching it more of over a 12 to 18 month period in order to build Catalyst to the Power of Five as the culture.
What advice would you have as we sort of wrap up today's time together? What advice do you have for the sales manager who wants to be a more effective sales leader out there?
The sales manager or the sales organization?
Well, actually, I'd like to hear about both, you know, from an organizational perspective and also the individual who may or may not have the benefit of his organization right now.
They have to buy the book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a given, but, you know, what can they do right now? What can they take action on, you think?
Well, on an organizational level, the organization, first of all, needs to really take a commitment to this position and really get serious behind that. And as part of that, it's really establishing standards and metrics for the sales manager that's beyond achieving just the numbers. There's an old story in sales that simply says that revenue hides all evils. And while revenue is the most important part of a sales force, the truth is that managers need to be evaluated in other factors other than revenue. From the sales manager's perspective, on the other hand, a couple of things that are really important as they think about this methodology. They need to, first of all, establish a real solid vision for their sales team, because that vision really establishes where they're going and the direction that the team should have. They need to be very clear about what to expect and also inspect what they expect, because that's a key aspect that a sales manager have. And another very important tactic that we recommend in the book is the idea of implementing sales huddles, a process on a weekly basis where they're meeting basically with their salespeople over 20 minutes. And most of the time is done over the phone via conference, but it's a very tight time frame called a sales huddle, and that really opens up the communication and helps the sales force recognize that they're all in it together.
And a couple other things we talk about in the book, and we find are really important for sales managers who want to become better leaders. The idea of encouraging each member of their team every day. And that's something that just seems to fall by the wayside with people. They think that if I just say, you know, good job, Joe, or good job, Stone, you know, that's enough of an encouragement. We have a model that we follow for encouraging that we talk about in the book that is, it'll just blow your socks off. I've tried it with my own family. It just makes all the difference in how you encourage someone, and it makes them want to work harder. So that's one key skill. We also think that the sales manager has to really develop his recruiting mindset and become something like the director of player personnel for his team. And having a mental bench of people that they can call on when they need someone, rather than just scrambling when somebody leaves their team. And then the idea of training. You know, Carlos mentioned this earlier, but we can't leave the training aspect up to the training department of the company. They do a great job, and I'm an instructional designer too, so I know, you know, training companies do, or training departments do a great job, but the manager is with them every day, so they can really make a difference.
So if you don't host your own radio show and aren't able to con Carlos and Nancy out of your very own no-fee copy of Catalyst to the Fifth Power, making the leap from sales manager to sales leader, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys and get a copy of this book on our own shelves?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, www.saleseffectiveness.com, and they can order directly from there. But as of last week, it's now up on Amazon as well as in Barnes & Noble, so that's another place to look for it and find it.
All right. Well, it has been an absolute delight having both of you on the show. But before we let you go, and I gave you a little bit of a heads up on this, but we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show where we ask each guest if they would to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career. And I don't know, maybe you'll decide that it was during the course of writing this book, but at some point in the course of their career, and really more importantly, what they learned from it. Nancy, can we get you to start?
Oh gosh, yeah, sure. I was thinking about this in the car on the way over here, and I thought that really the thing that sticks out to me is that early on in my career and for many, many years, I didn't really surround myself with creative, smart people enough. And being around Carlos, who's one of the most creative, smart, and energetic people I know, it's just taught me how important that is. And you just feed off that energy, and it's really great. And I think that I didn't realize the importance of that for a long time. I just go to a job and, you know, sit there at a desk and do your job. But it's so much better to be around folks that you can feed off the energy. So that's my little lesson.
Terrific. How about you, Carlos?
Well, in my case, one of the things that I think I bring to an organization and to the work that we do with our clients is obviously emotion and passion. And emotion and passion can be a strength and can be sometimes a weakness. And for my context is that sometimes I've allowed emotion to get the best of me. And I think as I've gotten older and wiser, been able to better manage when the passion is appropriate and when the emotion is appropriate. So that's probably one of the learning points that I've had.
Terrific. I think that sounds like marvelous wisdom. For all of our listeners, please know that you can pick up at Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
and our website.
And directly at the website, which is saleseffectiveness.com, Catalyst to the Fifth Power, making the leap from sales manager to sales leader. And as a person who has carried the bag and hung out with a lot of folks smarter than himself, I, Stone Payton, certainly personally endorse this book. Until next time, for Carlos Quintero, Nancy Sutherland, Lee Cantor, and everyone here at the Radio X family, we'll see you in the Fast Lane.